All right, welcome back. Welcome back to Greenbox Gaming Plays Delta Green Puppet Shows and Shadow Plays. You're joining us here right as Brad was about to tell us a story, and I interrupted him to begin the stream. And so he can take his story and he can shove it. Because no one wants to hear it. And that's the energy we're starting out with here.
Collectivism.
Right. John and I just had a very interesting conversation about collectivism versus individualism. We're here, actually here this evening. You know, so I got up at 7 so that we could do our session 0, so we record these. And then, oh, thank you, Atomic Scissors. Atomic Scissors says, shut your pie hole, Brad.
this is the vibe. This says we're just going to shit on Brad the whole time.
Absolutely. But like, so woke up early to do this, and then my wife and I are preparing the house, and we've got like, I like brined a turkey last night and like made cornbread and dressing and everything. Mm. We're having a great big Friendsgiving today. Was that your cat?
That's my cat.
Which one was that?
John, what are you doing with my cat, John?
There are no more rules. I don't know if you get the memo, Dace, at the beginning of this. There are no more rules. I've got your cat. I will send the ransom amount shortly.
This is absurd.
Into a pillow.
Usually, John is in South Africa, but now John is in my house and I'm in Memphis.
Right.
He's got my cats, making them wait.
And you
me.
Know what? And we were so serious about making this recording happen that we made it work. You know, were so ready for it. Well, listen. Do you guys just want to jump back in?
Sure.
You wanna just completely blast through the banter, which I know has been of, you know, disparate quality as of late.
What?
But that's not okay. If I could tell my story.
Who said this?
Hear it now.
No. No stories. Nah. No stories for you. No stories for me. None.
Who rated the banter poorly? I want names.
Who rated the... rated the banter poorly.
So then John. One name. Joe.
Okay, Joe. Here we go.
Just one person.
Anyway, last time on Puppet Shows and Shadow Plays, I badgered my players the way I normally do, and they took it because they have no choice. Because that's what friends do, is they're okay with each other's abuse. Last time, we are joined by our agents. Well, they're not really agents per se. We are joined by Thorn Thorpe, a diplomat from the State Department. We are joined by Jack Dorner, an anthropologist and historian. We're joined by Burt Morris of Bailey Cooper and Morris.
Thank you.
Burt Morris Esquire. They join Special Agent Bill Willicutt. In eastern Arizona, near the San Carlos Apache Reservation. There's been a rash of disappearances that they're calling kidnappings right now in the area. An area, a stretch of Route 70 that the media have dubbed the Devil's Highway. This team has been brought in to quiet the media and bureaucratic shit show that is the intersection of three separate law enforcement agencies: local tribal police, the State Highway Patrol of Arizona, and the Federal Bureau of Investigations. And Agent Willicutt has told these guys, hey, listen, like, you are here to keep things on the level, keep things, like, make sure we don't step into any legal, onto any legal landmines, and to help us manage relationships here. We don't want to fuck this up. We have too many eyes on it. That's why this little team is here. And Agent Willicutt has told you that he's going to be kind of taking a back seat because the federal government, you know, has a bad reputation, and there's bad blood there with federal government and any of the Native American tribes, and that he's just trying to take the back seat, let you guys kind of take the leads here. So, last time you guys got the info on our missing people. We have a variety of missing people. It's not four missing people, as I originally said. It's four groups of missing people. Ed Stoles and Chris Martin, who went missing while fishing. Felix Royos, who went missing while working late at the gas station on the reservation. Dieter and Vera Van Olsen, two Dutch tourists whose car was discovered on the reservation abandoned. And Leslie Sumter, a local teen, delinquent teen from a nearby town who people are saying she's most likely, you know, she spends a lot of time on the reservation going back and forth. So the team decided they were going to head first to the gas station because there is reports of there being surveillance footage of Royos going missing, of Felix Royos actually disappearing the last time that he's seen late at night. And that's where we left off, with the crew cruising down the road to go to the gas station to get their surveillance and to also meet Chief of Police, Chief Colorados, who is one of the Apache police officers, the chief of their police. So, that being said, you guys are in the car. You have like 10 minutes till you get there. What are you guys talking about? What's your game plan here? What are you going to do? And Willicutt, again, he's driving. He's like, all right, guys, I'm going to let you guys take the wheel on this. Don't fuck me. You know, this is still the Bureau's game here, but I'm letting you guys kind of take the lead. So what's the game plan, team?
Bert is not talking. He's got 90s headphones on, like the really thin plastic ones.
Oh, yeah.
That don't encapsulate the ears. He's just like listening to something and just like vibing out. And with his eyes closed and just kind of like vibing.
Just vibing.
Don't you forget about me is coming from his
head. Yes, that's it exactly, John. That's what he's listening to.
Nice. Okay, that's what Bert's doing.
Jack is kind of daydreaming because he is a historian at heart, so he's just like thinking of the history of this landscape and mm-hmm. everything. But then kind of as soon as Willica says that, he's like kind of snapped back into what we're doing at the present, and he's just trying to, you know, he's had a little bit that there's something weird going on, you mm-hmm. know, there is some deeper conspiracy thing going on, but he's just like he has no idea why Bert and Thorn are paired up with him for this like situation, so he's kind of still trying to figure out why are we all paired together to find these murders. This seems completely different than what he was dealing with Sage.
I think Thorn is in the back seat next to Bert, and he's got a little notepad out, and he's furiously kind of writing down, trying to figure something out. Some kind of a triangle of relationships from all the names that we've gotten already. So he's building out his own little murder board to try and make some connections between all of them.
Yeah.
I think he'd actually love to, if he could, do a bit of a roll on bureaucracy to see if he could work with somebody in the Dutch government or one of the use some of his connections to figure out stuff about the Dutch people.
Yeah, you do work with the State Department. You could.
I do.
Almost certainly, yeah. What'd you roll?
That's a 51 under 60.
Yeah, they can let you know. They're like, you know, you, whether you make that call, you probably have to, you know, this is 91. Cell phones aren't really a thing. Yeah, so you would have had to make that call back at the diner, which you could have done, and they would tell you, you know, that they will they'll fax you the info as soon as you get them a fax number, basically someplace where they can send it, but that they can give you the info that they have on the Van Olsens.
I do
want to hit something that I should have said in the intro, that I should have said in the recap, something that Brad had alluded to. So Jack Dorner is the husband of Sage Dorner, from our unearthed operation. Sage has been gone for over a year, and Jack has been basically... This is like his intro kind of tester thing. He hasn't been completely read in. He has had an unnatural encounter himself, but is not aware of the conspiracy yet. And Agent Willicott has basically told him, play your cards right, and I'll tell you everything I know about your wife as much as I can. You know, I'll let you know. I'll let you peek behind the curtain if you play nice here and you do well. And the other two, no idea. No idea about the unnatural. No idea about a conspiracy. And I want you guys to keep that in mind when you're role-playing. Like, there's no reason for you as individuals to suspect anything odd going on here besides a literal kidnapping.
On that note, so, like, Bert is, like, you know, kind of vibing to "Don't you forget him." And then he, like, snaps off his headphones and he's like, "Gentlemen, a thought occurred to me. The similarities in the missing people, Felix Royos, Dieter and Vera Van Olsen, Leslie Sumter. Vagrants, nobody would miss them. Perfect targets, if you ask me. Perfect targets. The outlier is Ed Stoltz and Chris Martin, established in the community. Children, jobs. Seems like prime of, what's the word for it?
Of opportunity?
Opportunity. Well, the other three would be crimes of opportunity or possibly targeted. But Ed Stoltz and Chris Martin, this seems like an accident. These are not targets. They're not prime targets.
Willicott, he looks at you in the rearview mirror. He's like, I like how you think. I like how you think, Bert. Have you done this before?
He puts his headphones back on. Forget me.
Don't. Okay. All right. He kind of, you know, he chuckles, and you guys pull up to the gas station. Did I have a name for this place? I think I did. I thought I had a name for it. That doesn't matter.
It's called Shell.
It's the Gas and Grub.
Gas and Grub.
You guys pull up to the San Carlos Gas and Grub. And I'm sorry, I did have a name for it. It's the San Carlos Fuel and Feed.
adjacent to Gas and Grub.
I like Gas and Grub.
It's Fuel and Feed. I wrote it down. So you guys are here, and you pull up, and there is an older style cop car, kind of showing its age, almost like a 70s era cop car, you know, like painted solid black with the Apache Nation emblem on the side of it, pulled up by one of the gas pumps, with no one in it. It's a pretty small place. Like, it's definitely, it's one of those places, like, it has a shower and like a little like hot box food. And probably no more than two or three people working here at a time at max. And you can definitely see this being the place that was only had one person at it at night, out here in the middle of nowhere. It's basically a place for truckers, tourists. As you pull up, you see they sell ice, firewood, and like fishing supplies, you know. And there's the lake up the road a little ways, you know, along with, like, you know, they have the big diesel pumps for like set aside for trucks and whatnot. And as you pull up, you can see a man exit the front doors. And then as you do, like, Willicott sticks the car in park and points to it. He says, it's Colorado's. He's a Native American guy. Looks like he's in his, like, probably 40s, maybe up into his 50s a little bit, but he is wearing, he's wearing like a very typical kind of police uniform with his badge and gun on his hip, and his hair pulled back, and he kind of stands there. He already looks unhappy, and you haven't even met him, but he looks unhappy to be seeing you guys pull up. Or maybe not unhappy as much as serious. He looks serious.
He's Bill, do you know him? Cooperative, according to Bill, right?
If you ask something of Agent Willica, he'll tell you. He'll say, you know, the he's like, yeah, Colorado's has been, it's been as cooperative as he can be. He doesn't want us to step on the tribe's toes. I can appreciate that he's doing his job.
Does he know you?
No, I've met him on the phone. Over phone is all.
And you mentioned we should try to keep this between jurisdictions. Is that right, Bert?
That's me.
That's
it's a delicate situation, Thorn. The best thing we can do is talk to him and navigate it as it unfolds.
I hear you, Bert. Let me just stop you right there. That's fine. He like literally cuts him off. He's like, okay, that's enough from you. Bill, you wait here.
Well, I'll make the introduction and I'll let you guys take the lead.
Okay? Are you sure? This may cause a bit of a fire, jurisdiction-wise.
Just real quick. I'll shake the hand. I'll let you guys take the lead.
Right.
So you guys all get out of the car, and Colorado's is staying there. It's pretty early in the morning still. You guys met at 9. It's probably like 9:45 at this point in time. And Colorado's is there with a cup of coffee. He's got like a paper cup of coffee in his hand. He's just like, Agent Willicott, I presume. Yes, sir. Special Agent Willicott. FBI. This is my team here. Bert, whatever the hell last name he has, Esquire. Bert Morris Esquire, Dr. Jack Dorner,
amazing.
And Thorn Thorpe from the State Department. I'm just here providing support for them, honestly. He's like, okay. You know, and he takes that and he shakes Bill's hand. He's like, okay, well, looks like they brought in all sorts of big guns. Want to help you gentlemen get this done as soon as possible. Get all this attention off of our reservation.
Yeah, okay, so...
Is this the first time,
Good.
Jack's like, yes, very sorry to hear what's happening here, but is this the first time that anything's happened to this extent in recent history?
Yes. It's, I know that there are some expectations on what the reservation is like. Well, you mostly deal with petty theft. In fact, most of the criminal-type calls I've ever had have been at this very gas station. Kids stealing, stuff like that. Nothing odd. Domestic violence is what I spend most of my time on, honestly. Our last murder was 2 years ago, I think. He kind of looks, you know, he takes a sip of his coffee. Yeah, that was, two guys fighting over a gal. So
can I roll a humint on his response? Just to see how truthful he's being?
Yeah, go ahead.
Success, 18 under 50.
Yeah, like, I mean, he really... Nothing about him seems like he is being evasive. If anything, it seems like he is very interested. You think that what he said about him wanting to get this done and get this attention away from the reservation, you guys have all seen news reporting on the Devil's Highway over the last, like, 2 weeks or so. Again, it's been obfuscated by the Dahmer stuff, but it's still there, you know, so you know there's been news crews, there's been cameras, and, you know, and you think for a local policeman, you know, tribal authority or not, you know, it's just bothersome. And he just wants it to be done.
So Bird's gonna flash his brilliant white teeth. What's this guy's name?
Colorados.
Colorados. Bird Morris, pleasure to meet you. What's your first name?
Oh, that is something that does exist. One
moment. move on.
Again?
Mr. Move On Colorado.
Alejandro.
It's funny, Alejandro. Like, as far as, like, role-playing goes, that's the... Everyone gets stumped on the name. Like, we can, like, banter back and forth about ridiculous conversations, but when it comes to names, it's like a huge stutter.
So, yeah, Bert sticks his hand out, and when he says Alejandro, assuming Alejandro grasps Bert's hands, Bert will do the thing where he clasps both his hands around Alejandro's hand, and he's like,
"Okay,
Alejandro, it's so good to meet you. And here's the thing. We are here to tie up these loose ends. I understand that this whole thing is a huge inconvenience for you, and we are here to mop up the sludge. So, what I would love to ask of you, Alejandro, there are surveillance tapes in this gas station. If you could potentially use your social leverage to get these tapes, that would be really helpful."
Give me a persuade roll. I just want to see how charming you actually are in this circumstance. Because you're playing it...
Playing like, it beautifully.
You're playing it like someone wearing someone else's skin.
Oh, that's a fumble. That's a 66.
Jesus.
Oh, no.
That's all I need right now. Come on.
Yes.
So maybe
it was perceived exactly like how that was acted out.
Do you want to push?
Yeah, I will push.
Roll a d4.
Wait. What's worse than a fumble? I don't think you can push in this scenario.
The fucking tapes are destroyed and we'll never see them.
Can it be worse? Alright, you gotta make it worse than a fumble then, Joe.
What's the verdict? Can it be worse than a fumble? What's...
I don't know if we should be able to push a fumble in... I don't know.
I'm gonna do it. So that's three.
It's worse than a fumble. It's two fumbles.
So you need to bring three willpower.
Three willpower, right?
Yep. And then re-roll.
That's not great. My willpower is not great.
Your willpower is very low already. Isn't your willpower 7 at max?
Jeez.
Well, it was. Now it's 4. So I'm going to do persuade again. That's a success.
Okay.
All right.
That would be fantastic.
He does it again, just for emphasis.
You do the two-handed shake.
Yeah.
You call him by his first name.
Alejandro.
Which is weird to do. You know, and maybe he's going to do something, but like, there's just something about when you're like, but when you say the bit about like, we're here to clean this up, we want this to go away too, like, we just want to figure this out. He takes a slow sip of his coffee. Like, slow. And he's looking at you hard. And it's almost enough to make you uncomfortable. If you could feel things. You know, so he's looking at you hard and he's like, okay. Yeah, I think I can do that. We'll go in here. I'm gonna... Honestly... If you can make me a personal promise... And he's pointing at you, Bert... That you are going to handle this carefully. These people are just trying to live their lives. Okay?
Have nothing but compassion for the people on your reservation. And I say that from the bottom of my heart.
Okay, now you're freaking me out. Okay? All right, let's go in here. Look, David. David's the manager. He's in here. Let's go. You know, and he just turns and heads into the gas station.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go.
And you turn to Willicott, and Willicott gives you like a low key, like, okay, like a thumbs up, like, all right, that seems to have gone okay. Like, maybe he kind of gives this kind of slow down motion, like a little less motion to Bert, like, okay. Like,
Jack thinks he'll never see his wife again.
This is it.
Jack's positive he'll never see his wife again.
All right, you go in and there is there's a man, there's two people inside. There's like a young woman who's manning the register, and she's like, you know, maybe switching the hot box food up or whatever, you know, she's like moving stuff around. And there's a guy, and he's like in his like late 30s, you think. Colorados introduces him, says, "This is David Noda." And they begin speaking in Apache. And you can see some hesitancy in David, right? In whatever this conversation, like, you know, several of you have very high humant.
I believe Apache. Can I?
Oh yes. And you speak Apache. You can speak Apache yourself. There's a conversation going on where David's like, "These guys are basically like, these guys are feds. We shouldn't trust them. Like, you're supposed to protect us from this Colorados." Like, he's kind of like accusing Colorados of letting you guys onto the reservation, like, and like letting you guys do this stuff. And Colorados is being very clear. He's like, "These guys are just here. Only one of them's a fed. The other ones are just like advisors, right?" He's like very much like, he's like, these guys, they just want this to go away too. They're gonna figure this out. We just need to see the tape, right? That's the kind of conversation going back. And eventually, you know, David, he kind of looks at you guys and he says, "Okay." He says, "Okay, one second."
Can I also interject there?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think he'll try and say, "And the Fed is in the car," to try and reassure him, to try and like build rapport with the guy.
Are you going to say that in a pat? Well, it's very clear that you're listening to and understanding their conversation.
Yeah, but I want to try and build rapport.
Okay.
That's a success. 39 under 50. Yeah.
Okay, you interject with a pretty passable, with some pretty, because your language skill is 50, with a pretty passable Apache. And David Nota's eyes get wide, like the, "Oh shit, I was just caught talking shit about someone directly in front of them." He's like, okay. I'll go get that. You know, he a little sheepishly now heads to the back, and Colorados is, he kind of looks to you and he kind of gives you like a little kind of okay, kind of nod. Like, you know, it's not often that they run into people who speak their language, right, from, you know, from outside the reservation. So he's like, okay, you know. In a minute, David Noda, he calls you guys back into a very, very small office that looks to be filled with mostly, this looks like to be where the employees punch their time cards. There's a lot of kind of papers, pay stubs, that kind of stuff. You know, orders for potato chips and soda and gas and all that stuff. It's a very, very small little office here at the fuel and feed. And there's a very small TV. It's one of the little TVs with the VHS built into the bottom of it. Right? You remember those?
Yeah. Totally.
And he pops, he's like, "Okay, I think I've already got it queued up here." He's like, "It's very short." He's like, "There's really not a lot there. I would like you guys to look over at Miro. I have something for you here." Now, this is not exactly what we're looking at, but this is pretty damn close.
Oh, good.
Nice. Are we sharing the Miro for
wow?
I'm going to here.
Yeah, let's do it.
That's
going
cool.
To here. So let me get this pulled up for the live audience.
Oh wow!
Joe is bringing his A game.
Yeah, this is cool.
Is it playing?
Yeah, it's playing.
Yes. You just gotta click it again.
Nice,
I don't think it's gonna loop.
Yeah. So You guys see very quickly there, someone walks in, a man, as far as you can tell, wearing a baseball cap and jacket, seems to walk in, say something to Colorado, or say something to this person behind the counter.
Felix?
Who,
David?
Yes. Felix, right?
Yes. David Noda tells you that is Felix. That he was alone working night shift. They tell you it was right at like 11 o'clock. Let me check that real quick. Absolutely correct information on that. Yeah, so right at 11 o'clock at night, this man walks in, says something to Felix, and Felix follows him outside.
Pretty quickly. So this is pretty cool. Like, I guess just what we can glean from looking at it, he's probably has like a blue jean jacket, maybe kind of like that furry stuff underneath. He's got a baseball cap. He seems to be like closely shaved, but facial hair.
Yeah, he's got a beard, yeah.
What should I roll to see if I can get anything off of him that, you know, beyond what we can see, kind of?
It's so very much like in what you're seeing. This is a very grainy 90s piece of footage, you know, what you're going to pick up here. What do you think that you guys are trying to glean from this exactly?
Some sort of identification on him. Like, even if we could get like his, what kind of hat he has, like if it's like from a baseball team or some kind of team out of town, would be the first thing I'd think of. Or if he has like, somehow I could like glean like a button or a patch on his jacket, something like that is what I would be looking for.
So that kind of stuff is going to be, if you want to do something like that, I honestly think that you would have to probably take this tape somewhere where you could blow it up on a bigger screen and like, or get like a footage, like a CSI enhance, like, yeah, yeah, kind of thing.
That's exactly what I was thinking. So potentially, could my law firm have like resources to do that? Could I roll a bureaucracy to send it back to my secretary and have her go, or rather my paralegal? That would be the, would be the person that would be doing the grunt work like that.
Okay. If you want, there's probably a phone here. If you want to pick up the phone and make a call here.
This is probably a pretty valuable,
yeah. Now that would require you sticking it in the mail, mailing it off.
Mm.
And that's gonna be like this is the 90s, man. Like this is gonna be a few days.
We can simply overnight it. I have a Diamondback credit wallet.
Sure. He's got his Diamondback credit wallet.
Before we mailed it off,
of titanium.
Yeah, he's got the blacker than black card.
Yes, it's Vanta Black.
Vanta Black before it ever came out. Okay, give me that bureaucracy roll then. I'm sorry, John. You have something?
No, we can do this, but I definitely want to chat to David and Alejandro's about this and ask if they can make any sense of this. If there's anything unusual that they see about this night, or
this is like, yeah, I mean, like, does Felix know this guy? This is like a quick, he goes out there pretty fast. Like, can you help me out here? Or
and like, do they know who this man is as well?
Okay, but that's so, okay, so you guys are picking up, that's fucking weird. There's something weird about that. Joker just said grainy AF video, but you can still almost see the dip ring in the back pocket.
The dip ring?
The dip ring?
Like, you know, where someone has their dip can and it stays in their back pocket till they ring. That's great. So
this is brand.
Okay, so Dace, give me that bureaucracy roll.
Alright.
To see you're gonna step out, pick up the phone, and make a call.
Success.
Yeah.
65.
Success. Okay, yeah. You're able to get a hold of your paralegal. She's like, yeah, you know, we can probably do something. I actually have a friend at the news station who has like really good stuff. we would have to pay them, right? You know, if that's a problem.
It's not a problem, sweetheart.
Okay. You have a working relationship with someone to review footage for stuff like this that can kind of pick it apart a little more. Even if it's just a bigger TV screen, better resolution. You know, it definitely looking at it on this little TV, you're not seeing anything. So if you want to send that off.
Yeah, definitely.
Then you can.
If y'all are cool with that.
Can we do it at the end?
That sounds, I think that's good. Yes, I'll also turn to David's the guy here, right?
Yeah.
I'll say, David, does this individual look like anyone you know?
No.
Does anyone you know around here dress like this or have a signature?
I mean, that's... It's not unusual. It gets cold in the desert at night. You know, it's... The jacket's not weird. I don't recognize the ball cap. I don't know. I don't know this guy.
Was Felix prone to having a friend's visit while he worked?
Not really. Felix is a bit of a loner. Honestly, a quiet kid. That's why he works the night shift. I mean, I have no idea why he would even go outside. Like, even if something was messed up with the pump, you just tell him to use the other pump. Like, it's not... It's weird. Like, there's no reason for him to go outside with a customer. I don't get what's happening here. And he's like, and you can tell he's distressed. He's like, this is the last time anyone saw him. What am I supposed to tell his mother?
Is that the only relative on the, reservation that he has is a mother? I know he has
father's
a brother.
No, father's long gone. Brother's in prison. It's Felix, he hung out with a bad crowd, but, you know, basically they all got arrested, and he was luckily not involved. So he's had trouble making friends. He's just trying to make some money and move away. That's all he wanted.
Can we get the address of his mother? I don't want to cry too much.
He really bristles at that. And Colorado's is like, maybe you should let me handle that.
Okay, Jack won't push anymore.
Was anything...
Anybody else got a...
Was anything missing on that night? Did you get any... Was Felix just gone? Or did he take anything?
No. Well, David, he's like, his car's gone.
So he was missing and his car's missing.
Yeah his car's gone.
So he took
gone,
his own car.
I guess. That's the assumption. Is he? What do you do? Just drive off with this guy? He didn't go home. He lives with his mom. He didn't go home. He didn't go to his friend, to any friends or anything. He just drove off. Just drove off where?
And can we get the make and model of his car?
Yeah, it's a Ford Taurus station wagon. Maroon.
So,
very concerned.
Bert has been in the background during this conversation, calling his paralegal, and he goes over to the cooler and gets two Cokes out, and he goes over to the counter. Are we in the back room now?
These guys are in the back room.
Okay.
The counter is probably, the phone's probably out by the counter.
The phone's out by the counter. I'm going to go to David.
You can be out there if you want.
And I'm going to hand him a Coca-Cola. And I'm going to say, David, my man, and grab him by the shoulder. There is nothing quite like an ice-cold Coca-Cola. This one's on me. And he's going to pop it.
That made me uncomfortable.
And hand it to
I'm
David.
In a different state.
And he's going to pop his and take a swig. Refreshing. Did your friend have any homosexual tendencies?
He is a little bit flabbergasted.
Let me tell you, there are two things that matter for most of us in the world. It's money and sex. Money and sex. Do you see? Money and sex. I suspect that there might have been money and sex involved in this transaction. And then he cheers his Coke.
Jack will like, let me just go back to the phone, please, Bert. I guess, are we sure that he had no, you said he had no friends. Did he have a girlfriend or anyone that he was really close to at school?
Wait, I want to see how he reacts to that.
He says to Bert, he's like, I don't know. I wasn't close enough to Felix to know if that was his thing. He puts the Coke down. He does not drink it. He's like, as far as, I mean, Felix was like, he had been out of school for 2 years. Most of everyone on the res who can leave after school does.
They can leave the reservation after school? What do you mean?
Like they move away.
Yeah.
He's like, there's not a lot going on. I mean, most of them land in Globe, you know, down the road or elsewhere. Felix was, again, he's just a quiet kid. And no, I don't think he was selling himself. You know, he's at Bert. He's like, I don't know why he would just follow this guy. Like, you need to be asking the question is why, anyone should be asking is not why did this happen on the reservation. We should ask him, why is there a white guy doing this on the reservation? People think it's one of us. It's not. This is obviously a white guy.
Bert silently mouths money and sex and then finger guns and winks.
Jack tries to push it back a little bit.
Like, Bert, like get save between it. Them.
Save this for the this interrogation for the brother, not this poor man at a convenience store.
I think Thorn is just like unable to comprehend this, so he's just like not reacting.
Colorado's is like, listen, David, thank you. We're gonna take the tape. Or maybe they make a copy or whatever. You know, we're going to take the tape. Apparently, this guy can do something with it to make it easier to see. Thank you, David. You know, and David kind of excuses himself to do some paperwork or something. And you guys are kind of out front, you know, like out by the ding-dongs and potato chips.
Pork rinds.
Can Thorn do something? He wants to, yes. Like, as everybody's gone out, he wants to kind of recreate that motion. He wants to kind of like be the person coming into the shop, see if a bell goes off, put his hand on the counter, try and echo that, but also to just get maybe to get Bert behind the counter. Like, Bert, I actually need you for a second here. Just see if anything is weird. So I want to roll an alertness, and I want to see if there's anything around
be the, help, Thorn.
The actual station.
Absolute pleasure.
You just stand there. Be Felix. See if you notice anything. And then he's going to like repeat the motions to see if something odd about the place.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Give me a roll. Let's see what you pull out here.
That's a fumble on alertness.
You want to push it?
You got nothing. You want to push it? You got nothing, man. It's like, it's just weird. It's just because, and you keep finding yourselves in this question, and maybe
he can't concentrate because Bert's like smiling.
He's still drinking and being like,
you're looking at his teeth and they are so perfect.
He's savoring like, his Coca-Cola so hard.
But he's like doing the way he's drinking is like he's drinking in a Coca-Cola commercial. He's like turning sideways and like like it's just everything about Bert is like a thin plastered veneer just like on his teeth. Like it's just nothing is real. Anyway, but Willicutt, you know, he's standing there watching this with you,
Jack.
Yeah, he's standing there watching. He's like, I don't know. It's that video. That is something. Something's off about that. Why would you just go outside,
Bill? I have the best hands on it. Don't worry. We're going to get this video clarified. We'll figure this out, Bill. You leave it to me.
All right. I mean, that's why you're here, I guess. So let's take a look around.
I would like to ask Colorado something. He'll try to like shoot the shit with not kind of like take a little bit off of like interrogating his people. Was like he'll say, Colorado, I was reading in the paper there's some dispute over mines here in the past. Have you had any kids like to hang out in the abandoned mine, or have you ever found anyone living out there?
Oh, every now and then. Yeah, well, this one got a few. There's the old ones, the old gold mines. Make me some type of charisma type roll. To buddy
persuade.
Up to Colorado's. Yeah, give me a persuade. Yeah, that's good enough.
Yes. Best. 750.
You've got a few. There's a few in the area. There's old gold mines for the most part. There's actually I think there's a cobalt up on the north side of the res. There's the there's Black Eagle uranium mine.
Uranium?
Yeah, been closed for a while. A few years. Big accident. A lot of guys got hurt. White guys. Not res guys.
Is it accessible from the highway with these?
Not really. It's way out there. I mean, no, it is. If you're thinking about the Sumter girl, I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm saying that's a long way to go to graffiti and drink in peace.
Oh, it wasn't necessarily a local hangout, but.
No, not really. And no one even knows where it is. Like, me and, like, three other guys even know where it is. We only go out there every now and then just to even verify that the gate's locked.
Could I get the location since I made a...
Yeah, he'll tell you vaguely where it is. He's okay. Like, you know, it's on the other side of the river. You have to, you have to take, like, a... You can't even get to it when the river is up. Because you have to drive through the... At the for the
it's
river
near the Mount Turnbull going that south direction.
It is he'll basically tell you it's like over there by Bylus. You see where Bylus is?
Yeah,
like it's on the other side of the river. It's south of that further still. It's I'm sorry, no, it's closer to Calva. It's like it's down like on the other side of the I'm sorry, you're right, just north of Mount Turnbull. I'm sorry, I should look at what you're talking about.
Gotcha.
Like, you know, it's way out there. They got Black Eagle. Jolly Roger is one of the old gold mines up north. That one's out there by that one's up there by the casino. There is the cobalt. One is south of the lake a good ways. Again, pretty far out. That one, the campers find their way to every now and then. We have to regularly kind of pull people get their cars stuck and we have to pull them out. They shouldn't be going there, but they're going there no matter what, and we tell them or not, so. Yeah.
So that's close to where Ed Stoles and Chris Martin.
Decently close. The access roads there are still present.
Appreciate you sharing this knowledge with me.
Yeah, yeah.
Colorado's.
We should probably take a look around. Probably take a look okay. around the. I mean, I've already done. You know, me and my guys, we came out the next day because the, you know, there was a, you know, a trucker came through at like 2 a.m. the next, and was there no one here? And he actually called us. We came out early that morning and looked all around and couldn't find anything.
We'll do our due diligence and check around, see if there's anything.
You hear his radio crackle, and he, like, puts his ear to it. He's like, listen, I've got some other stuff I need to go do. You gentlemen have this?
Jack will nod.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that other things on the reservation are so pressing, and I appreciate a man of your caliber dealing with those problems as they arise. It was so, so nice to meet you.
He shakes your hand and he holds it a bit long. He's like, we'll be keeping an eye on you guys.
As you should, my friend. As you should. And he'll clap him on the back.
he'll walk out, he'll go get in his cruiser, and he'll take off back towards kind of the center of the reservation.
Okay.
Willicutt's there eating like a, you know, like a hot dog out of the hot box. He's like, well, that went about as well as I could imagine it going.
Bert goes shark-eyed, and he's like, what about the uranium? Did y'all hear that about the uranium?
I don't think there's anything.
I think uranium. It was abandoned. Abandoned mine, there's no uranium left.
Very valuable resource. It's a very valuable resource.
Well, there's also a gold mine.
No. Coal. Gold is the past, uranium is the future.
Okay.
All right, Jack tries to put Bert as far behind him as he can as he walks around the facility.
Okay,
and he'll roll search around the like just the okay. around the outs like the building. I have a 94 and a 90, and I failed at 94.
Oh,
you gotta push, dude! You gotta push.
Yeah.
Oh,
roll 1d4.
John is not comfortable with that.
Three. Wah.
All right, three willpower. What's that put your
burning
willpower?
Willpower.
I have a lot of willpower. One.
What we learned from the last few campaigns is how rare and important willpower is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
we can burn it while we have it, at least.
Yeah, burn it while you have it. All right, so give me another roll. Let's see how you do.
Oh, let's go. Success, 87 under 90.
Okay. So you start looking around, and you know, Willicutt is he's kind of out there at the he asked the attendant. This is, again, she's like probably like a 17-year-old girl. He's like, "Where do you guys usually park?" And she's like, "You know, oh, you know, on this side. You know, that's usually where we park." He goes over there and he's like looking like at the tire tracks. You can tell he's like kind of you can tell maybe he's like, you know, because the car was missing, he's like out there looking around, you know, and he's if any of you ever make eye contact with him, he just kind of shrugs and kind of makes kind of like a got nothing kind of look as he's kind of like meandering around. But Jack, you head around the back. You guys are just making a bit of a 360 around the building, and you see two things that So keep in mind, this is like kind of out here. It's a big flat area, but there's kind of those rolling kind of sand, kind of not dunes because it's not desert like that. You know, it's like scrubby, rocky sand, right? With little stunted trees and brush and stuff. And as you're looking around, you know, maybe you spy something catches your eye, like probably about 50 feet or so out. And you approach it, and because like it's just like a flash of color, and you realize, oh, it's a Doritos bag, right? And it's like you're about to dismiss it, but then you're like, but wait a second, and you see that there's a bit at the top of one of these little mounds of sand where it looks like something has been dragged across the top.
Oh, shit.
Kind of.
Ooh.
But then as you look and you look down the direction, you see what looks like, is that a Budweiser box? And then you see just past it, about 10 more feet, is that like a Twinkies wrapper? Like there is trash spread.
It's the teenager.
Pretty regular. It's a teenager just consuming gas station food as they as they walk through the desert. But it's like a pretty like regular drop of trash. You're like boop boop boop.
I imagine Jack, like, as it gets further out, you know, you have like the heat waves kind of blurring his vision. He'll like go from a trot, and as he sees more, he'll start like running a little jog out.
You guys are watching Jack run out into the desert, and Wilco's like, hey, Dorner. You know, he's like,
kind of just like,
kind of after you.
Yeah. He's,
what time is
going?
It?
What time?
Yeah.
Daytime, nighttime?
Well, it was like 10 in the morning. Like 10:30 maybe.
All right, he's not just running out into the darkness. Okay.
Never to be seen again.
to get to the end of the trail or get past the Twinkie, you know.
Right. You keep going. It's like there is, it gets to the point where it's like at some point in time, this is no longer coincidence. Mm-hmm. Like this is, like you're like, this is a trail. Like someone has left a trail, and it gets to the point where you start to get fucking tired. Like you would go as far as like almost half a mile out. And these other guys are like, I mean, they're like coming after you, and they're like, Dorner, what the fuck are you looking at? But this is weird. Like this is, and every now and then you see one of the places where in a place where there is soft exposed sand, a drag mark.
Or something. Kind of like stop and like to catch my breath, and he's like, do you see it? The trail. Oh, he'll like kind of point out.
What the hell are we doing out here?
There's drag marks and bits of trash from the gas station. Do you not see it?
And Bert,
bear,
wipes his brow, and he's like, this is not ideal. This is not ideal.
But yes, as you guys continue like kind of stomping forward, you see a black trash bag that looks to be mostly empty laying up ahead of you, and you see what looks like two vultures, like as you guys begin to approach, just like take wing up into the air.
Okay.
Jesus.
Jack will just like point at it like in the distance.
Oh god, he's onto something.
Well, gentlemen, shall we? Why shouldn't we? Let's go!
Oh god. Bert takes the lead.
This character's going into the Hall of Fame for days,
stomping,
I think.
Stomping forward. And coming to the stop at a small clearing where there has very obviously been dirt like kicked up, right? And you can see that there is a pile, or there's a bag that looks to be mostly empty of trash that is laying here. Looks like it'd probably been taken from the dumpster at the gas station.
Jack has like kind of like sourly because he thought he was going to find a body.
Can I do an alertness?
And as you step up into this little clearing, you see that a hole has been dug, probably about 2 feet by 2 feet-ish and about a foot deep. And you can see it exposed and having been bitten and picked at by the vultures, the face of a young man.
Yes.
Of a young
score. Jack just...
About a 20-year-old Native American man.
Jack drops his knees and is like, oh, God.
Willicutt comes behind you. He's like, oh, God damn it.
Bert says, gosh darn, it's... what a tragedy. And then he like eagerly goes
oh my God.
Anything that he can find.
You guys, everyone give me alertnesses. Give me survivals.
I was about to say, do we get Sandy for
searches?
Seeing
oh, yes, you would.
For seeing a dead body.
Figure that would happen.
Brad's always there, always keeping me honest. Everyone make a Sandy check, please.
Crit. Bert crit. He gets more.
That's appropriate.
Seeing a dead body.
Looks like all pass.
You all pass. You all take zero Sandy damage. Willicott's like, Willicott comes up, and it's like, it's stinking a little bit. Like, it's not, I mean, well, I guess it would be pretty stinky, actually. And he's like, what the hell is going on here? He's like, why? He's like, fucking brought him out here and buried him. Jesus Christ, what the fuck are we dealing with? So, give me your rolls for your investigation type rolls.
Alertness.
Is it alertness?
Succeeded.
I want to see what you get. Give me alertnesses or whatever you got.
I got a success.
Alertnesses,
Jack search. Failed.
What we got, John?
Success. Alertness.
Dace, you got anything?
Nothing good, but I'll roll an alertness. That's a fail.
Okay. You guys are looking around. Jack, Bert, you... you don't really have anything. It's the I think Jack especially, you're just like transfixed on this, like, because you remember what Colorado said, that they came out and they looked, and you're looking at this bag, and like, this is, you know, you're like, man, this is really weird. Like, if they came out and looked at this, like, someone put this here recently. Like,
oh, someone led this to the body recently.
Right, because like, even out here, like, you're sitting out here and like, and it's kind of windy, you know, and you're like, man, like, the wind tonight will probably pick up. The idea that this trail of trash is even here. Here very long.
Jack will stand up. Well, Jack will stand up and be like, God. Someone's been watching us. They wanted us to find this.
Willicutt,
they're here now. They're close. Jack's like, they're really close.
Willicutt's like looking around. He's like, you're freaking me out, Dorner.
Yeah, like, I don't understand. What do you
think about it? This trash would have been brushed away, and it so happened to be a perfect trail to this body.
Yeah, it's so Thorn, you're looking at this. You notice something. The way this body is dug up, this was not dug up by a shovel or even human hands. You're looking at it and you see that there are these paw prints all around, and it has been dug up by claws of some type, some critter.
Werewolves.
Werewolves. It's a fucking werewolf operation, guys. But you notice the bag has been chewed through by something. And maybe there's a point where you're looking down at the ground, Thorn, and you see this this footprint, this canine footprint, but you put your hand down next to it, and fuck me, it's about as big as your damn hand.
It is werewolves. It's werewolves.
This is what I was saying before. Look at this, all of you. This is a big creature. There's nothing following us. There's nothing out here. This is just pure happenstance. There's no reason for us to freak out. Like I said, I don't think we get bears out here, but it's very likely to just be a bear. There's a trail of trash. There's a body that's been dug up.
I suppose it's possible that a scent just led the creature here to chew on it.
I know that bears like trash, don't they, Jack? Why are you so freaked out?
Willicott's like, no. I think Thorne's onto something here. I mean, it's just, is it coincidence? Yes, big time. But who knows what animal, whatever animal dug this kid up, obviously pulled this trash out here. There's nothing weird about
Jack,
it.
Jack, that's what I was saying before. We get hypersensitive to what the media tells us, and we just want a good story. It's just a bear, man.
Can I roll on archaeology or forensics?
Ooh, yeah, you have those skills specifically, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, hit me.
That is
whichever one.
The first time I've ever seen an archaeology being rolled.
Yeah, same, I think.
47 under 50, so success. Ooh, archaeology.
Nice. You get down there and you start looking, and immediately what strikes you, right? You can see where the vultures have begun to pick at the face, right? They have removed the eyes and have begun to get at some of the meat of the face. Whatever animal dug this up, and again, it's just exposing like just his like neck and face. That's it. Whatever animal did this did not feed on Royos even a little bit. Because you're used to looking at things like that. It's like, a set of remains where the bones have been scattered by time and weather and animals. Nothing has gotten at this body. Again, leading you to believe that in all likelihood, this was uncovered. You would go so far as to say that this has only been uncovered last night at the earliest.
Uncovered.
Damn. I relay this to everybody as I'm looking.
That, Jack, again, that is ridiculous. That bear, I'm going to go with just calling it a bear, it just ate all that trash. Of course it's going to be full. It's going to be sated. It's going to have understood that it's found its smell. If I was a bear and I ate all that garbage, I'd go home.
I'd be out of here.
Jack's about, like, about fed up with, like, Bert and Thorpe's dick measuring contest. With all due respect, you're a diplomat. Stay in your lane.
Willicott's like, all right, everybody, let's get the hell out of this heat. We have to call this in. We have to call it in and let the cards fly. Let's see what forensics thinks when they get out here. We gotta call it in. We gotta do this by procedure, okay?
Bert, do you have another Coke for our boy over here? I think he's getting a bit cranky.
I think, so Bert is, like, kind of, like, staring off into the middle distance, smoking an impossibly thin hand-rolled cigarette that he got out of a handmade tin in which he keeps his cigarettes. And he reaches into his pocket and gets out a flask and takes a sip of gin as he puffs on his cigarette. And he's like, well fucking done. A goddamn red herring. And then once he hears your voice, he turns around and says, what? What did you say?
Coke.
We're heading
another
back
Coke
to the gas station.
Another Coke? No.
Yeah.
Do you care for gin? It's Beef Eater.
Oh, not
while we're not
working.
Drinking.
No.
We're not drinking. We're heading back to the gas station, and calling this in. Come on, let's go.
Sucks to suck.
As you guys are walking, Jack, Willicutt, if you're kind of walking in the back as these two are heading forward, he kind of gets closer. He's like, maybe don't draw attention to things.
He's talking to me?
Yeah, he's like, be careful what you draw attention to.
You think that back there had some...
And he speeds up and like walks past you. And, you know, and over the next few hours, again, Colorado's comes back out. You know, they come out with like a Jeep Cherokee, you know, with like the tribal police markings on it, and drive out into the brush. We see like a time lapse of them creating a cordon around the body, you know, with you guys kind of floating around the periphery, digging it up. You see now that state police has arrived and that they are the ones who transport the body out. And, you know, and like put it up in the zipper bag and stuff like that. And they start combing through the area. As we look on the top down view, you know, of this, you know, within the next 8 hours or so, the body has been pulled out of the ground. And in the back, as you guys are standing there watching the state coroner's van bounce over the rough terrain back towards Route 70 with the body interred inside, going to the medical examiner's office. Willicutt is standing there next to Colorados. He's like, Colorados, looks like our kidnapping investigation just turned into murder. We don't have the other ones yet. And Colorados has been pissed ever since he got out here. Has been very much, not enraged at you guys, but you can tell he is
just... because he should have caught it.
Yes, and he's
sure
like...
that's what he's thinking.
And he keeps asking you guys, specifically you, Jack, he's like, you want me to believe that there was just... you just happened to follow the trail of trash out here? How did you actually find this? Like, he doesn't believe you at first, and you guys have to settle him down. You can tell what's really at the bottom of it. Bert and Thorn both. You can tell that that Colorado's just taking the death of this young man super personally. You know, he is impassioned, you know, to find this. He's like, he tells Willicutt, he's like, listen, Willicutt, he's like, listen, special agent, I'm gonna let you know. I understand that the body's going to the state crime lab. I understand that the kidnapping case is still going on. Let me make it very clear. Murder cases are to be handled by tribal law. That is my jurisdiction. We get this guy, he belongs to me now. A murder on reservation land, on an Apache, he's mine.
If it were only that simple.
He doesn't even...
This is where we definitely need the law here.
He doesn't even give you time to like talk about it. He's like, I gotta get back to the station. God damn it, I gotta go talk to Royals' mother. I gotta go talk to Felix's mother.
You're cutting me off.
He's gonna go and get in. Yes, he is. Right. He's gonna jump in that Cherokee and take off. There's still some state police people, and this is the point at which that Major Garrett is going to finally show up on the scene. Major Frank Garrett with the state troopers. You know, as the body's being carted off, he shows up and he's got his thumbs in his belt loops as Colorados is like storming off the Cherokee. He's like, afternoon, Colorados. And Colorados just gives him like a grunt and just like puts it right by him. He's like, what's gotten under his skin? You know, as he walks up to you guys and he sticks out a hand. Frank Garrett.
State Good police. To meet
you. Jack is still like, he'll shake his hand, but he's like, not up for talking, I suppose, after everything that went down.
I understand you boys are with the Bureau. Listen, we're going to take that body off to our crime lab and get a report to you, Jiffy. Got real professionals over there, unlike the skeleton crew that run here on the res. Barely got enough to deal with their petty thievery and whatnot.
Bert Morris, Bailey Cooper Morris, pleasure to meet you. An absolute pleasure to meet you. Two-handed handshake.
Oh, you smell like a lawyer.
I cannot wait to see the results of your search.
Yep, we got the boys. They're gonna comb over the rest of this here little crime scene. You guys pick up anything interesting so far that the troopers need to worry about? I heard there was some surveillance. Unfortunately, the res crew's been quite uncooperative. It'd be real nice if we could get a copy of that.
That is exactly Major. What you have me for.
Meaning, you do have a copy?
No, absolutely not. But I can request one. For a fee.
Ah. I'm afraid we already have our people on it. But listen. You guys pick up anything again. Old Colorado's over there. He's giving the state troopers the old cold shoulder. But I think we know who's really going to figure this out. Who's got the means and the manpower to bring this terrible, terrible murderer to justice. And it ain't going to be the res crew.
So Thorn almost, but he double checks himself. He almost decides to mention that they need to try and get some kind of animal control in. But then getting the vibe of this guy and how he is the antithesis of a person who seems interested in public safety, he kind of holds back. He like starts it. He's like, oh, never mind.
That's what Jack was going to ask about, but we'll, if we think that's the wrong direction with this guy, we'll off.
Listen, gentlemen, I'm going to give you my pager number. Page me anytime. I'd be... technically, I cannot come out to anywhere beyond 50 yards of the highway median. unless I'm requested, but if the FBI were to request me come out and consult on something, I certainly could make the time. So, just give us a shout anytime. State troopers would love to help you.
I would love to see you in the future. We will give you a call.
Bert's dead shark eyes go even deader as he gives another firm handshake and says, thank you so much for coming out. It was a absolute pleasure to meet you. Vigorous handshake. And he's never wanted blood more.
All right. Like I said, if you guys get a copy of that tape, be most helpful to the real investigation going on here. So he tips his cowboy hat to you guys. He's like, have a good afternoon. You know, and he heads off over to his... a very new, you know, like whatever, like police, state police SUV that he's driving.
Thorn turns to the guys, looks at them both, says, we do not want to get that person involved with this business until we absolutely have to. That man is international diplomatic incident written all over his face.
Waiting to happen.
What a swell guy.
The only thing that I'm...
No, not entirely.
The only thing that I'm concerned about is we need to know exactly what killed Felix. We still don't know the murder weapon or how he died, and he'll have access to that.
We'll get in touch with him. But I'm just saying, we don't want him to come in contact with the other authorities. This will cause trouble.
Certainly not. Yeah. I think I can help. Is there a way? So, okay, Daze is not a lawyer. Is there some way that I could throw a metaphorical stick into the spokes?
For the state police?
Yes. So they're just like, you know, I'm having a real hard time coming up with something specific. Maybe you could help me out.
So you're looking for a way to either slow them down or to keep them from accessing stuff or to force them to work with you? Like, what are you looking for?
I want to, so based off that interaction, like, I just want to keep that dude out. Like, he seems like a difficult person to work with.
Well, you think that, I'm going to tell you, because isn't your law like 80 or something?
90.
Nine, okay.
Crazy.
Bert can tell you guys, like, what he said is true. He technically cannot fuck with anything that was not either called in from or a crime or something happening specifically on Route 70. They have jurisdiction 50 yards left and right of Route 70. Now, they were called in for this because they were the closest organization with a crime lab, like with the ability to do an autopsy and stuff like that.
Okay.
But that's only because they were requested to come there. If you don't request them, he basically was telling you, hey, let me in. And by giving you his pager number and saying, if you call me and request me, I can come out. So that is basically what he's getting at, is that he realizes that he's not really allowed here necessarily without very specific permissions. And Bert, you'd be extremely aware of that.
Okay. But I guess the caveat is that we need his cooperation to get a proper assessment of the body.
Yeah. Now, if you want to roll, if you do want to roll me a law roll and just see how you do, I mean, you've got a fucking 90.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and roll.
Let's see if anything very interesting happens.
Success, 42 under 90.
Okay. You're pretty sure he can be, that even if he is hesitant, that he can be compelled to give you the full report no matter what.
Okay, nice.
Okay.
He might play hard to get.
Yeah.
You think in the end, that's a losing fight for him.
So there's precedence for this case and such, blah, 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 legal speak.
Such and such. Legalese and such and forth.
Okay. I gotcha.
Willicutt, Will, you guys have been out here in the desert for like hours and hours and hours. You know, Willicutt will tell you, he's like, listen, let's go back. I've got some rooms for us. Riverside Inn, or I think it was a Riverside Inn. I've got some rooms for us back at the Riverside Inn, back in Globe. We've had a long day out here. Let's head back to Globe. You can send off that tape to your people. There's a UPS or whatever's there. You can, over in Globe. We can get some chow, get some fucking showers. Like, you guys are all so dusty at this point in time from, like, standing around where they've excavated this body. You guys are so dirty, so dusty.
And a fax machine, just go. If we can.
Yeah, there's a fax machine, too. We've got everything we need back there, so let's go ahead and head back. We've had a pretty full day, you know. This, like I said, it's taken, like, around 8 hours for them to dig all this up.
Yeah.
So it's by now it's about 6-7 o'clock in the evening. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that makes sense. I think
we sense to me.
Wrap it. There's no reason. There's in what Thorne's thinking. It's like this is just a day's work. There's no urgency. Right. There's no reason. It was a bear attack, so he's not going to push to do anything and probably get a good night's sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys head back. Are you guys all going to eat dinner together or kind of go do your own thing? Or what do you think your deal is?
Thorne's probably not going to unless persuaded otherwise.
Where is the finest diner in the town?
You could probably find a decently nice restaurant in town. Brad Willicutt's basically said, let's all head back to Globe, back to the town off the reservation and clean up.
Okay.
Because it's like 7 o'clock at night at this point.
I only have one request, and that's no Arby's, please.
You're a monster.
How dare you?
Are you a peasant? I don't you guys, deign to touch an Arby's. Please.
You guys head.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. You guys, there's the river. The Riverside Inn is like a kind of like middle ground hotel. It looks like probably people, you know, who come to the campsites or, you know, who are traveling, kind of place they stay out. He tells you that, you know, he can get you guys a room, that he can get each of you a room, and that, you know, that you guys have like four rooms all there together that the Bureau is going to pay for, basically. And you guys, what is your evening activities consist of? Kind of briefly, like, what are you guys going to do tonight?
Bert will find the rarest steak he possibly can, cut it up into impossibly thin strips, eat it delicately, and then do a 2-hour face wash.
Nice.
2 hours to wash your face.
There are different layers. Right. There's like, you have to descale and then put the moisturizer on and take it off and like. It's a whole thing.
That probably shows that I don't know anything about this. Thorne would probably phone his wife, Eleanor, and try and find out if there's any news about Colton, because he hasn't heard from him in a while.
Nothing. You guys catch up. You know, you're a little worried about Colton. But you can't really do anything about it from where you are. You have work to do. So.
Jack can't get the... Well, I mean, you know, something. He's very concerned that something about that crime scene he didn't, that the agent didn't want the other team members to know about Willcutt. So he's going to ponder on that animal print and... I don't know. It's not. We don't have the internet, but I mean, he had like some papers with him that he did like a little bit of research on the area.
He may not have the internet, but he does have clairvoyance.
Shit. Yeah, he does.
Would he be driven to that? I don't know. I don't know if there's maybe not enough to do
here,
that.
Here, let's do it.
Before
we end, Jack has a coin and he's gonna flip it.
Ooh. Okay. I like that.
And to see if he's like he's thinking about that things. He's thinking about Sage's notes, this clairvoyance bill. You know, he's got a bunch of emotions. He wants to get to her, or you know, peek behind the curtain, so to speak, as soon as possible. So over 50. Under 50, he does it. Over 50, he doesn't. He'll flip the coin.
All right.
It's over 50, not tonight.
Not tonight.
You have the ritual there, and you're like, thing could be helpful, you know, but you decide against it.
You guys all bed down,
and you kind of get ready to go to sleep. About 2 in the morning, a knock on Jack's door specifically. Dum dum dum.
Pops up, you know.
Dum dum dum.
He has a robe. He puts a robe on. Opens it.
You open it, and spilling in is none other than Special Agent Willicott.
Damn.
He is bleeding profusely.
Ooh.
He appears to have some type of gouge missing out of his neck. The
what
amount
the
of
fuck?
Blood over the front of him is you don't know how he's even standing. He falls in a heap, and he falls down. He kind of takes you down with him. Now you've got blood all over you. And he kind of leans with his back to the hotel door, his hand up, and you can hear the wind escaping through his fingers as he breathes.
Jack's doing all he can. He has no fucking first aid. He's just like touching him. And he yells. He's just yelling. Bert.
You go to yell, Lord. And a hand goes out and goes over your mouth. This bloody hand, just like over your fingers over your mouth, just.
Mirror with blood.
And he's like, my left shoe. My left shoe.
Jack scrambles. What are you talking about?
Phone number. Phone number. Call.
He's the door's still open. He gets the number. He calls.
He's like, doop, boop, boop, boop. And you hear a pickup on the other line. You hear a woman's voice. I have 7. I give you 3. And he's like, he's just like, what is it?
They're saying they have 7, and they give me 3.
10! 10!
Oh, math. 10!
There's a pause. It's like, and you hear like, who is this?
This is, oh shit, this is Jack Dorner. I'm here with an agent, Willcutt. Bill Willcutt. It's Dyer.
Is Agent Willcutt alive?
For now.
You look over and you're watching as his breaths are faltering. He's just like,
oh god, he's like coming over trying to like stop it while he has the phone in his hand. He's like, I don't know who this is, but we need help. Quick.
And he's just like, and at this point in time, the word, she's like, is Agent Willcutt injured or dying?
Yes, both.
What is your location?
He gives the location.
Stay where you are. Stay within the hotel room. Put Agent Willcutt in the bathtub. Put all of your clothes and everything that you can remove that has blood in the bathtub. Do you understand,
Dr. Dorner? I don't understand. This man needs medical assistance now. We need emergency.
Agent Willcutt is dying. Do you understand, Dr. Dorner?
Fuck, yes! He throws the phone, not hanging up, but like throws it and tries to pull Willcutt to the bathroom best he can.
You wait for about 30 minutes. I imagine just hemming and hawing all over your hotel room before a light knock comes again. This one very light. Very, very light. Almost surreptitious.
Yeah, at this point, Jack has his robe off because it has blood on it. He's still in his boxers and white shirt, but that has blood on it too, but that's the best he can do. He creaks it open. Those eyes.
You see 2 men. They're each carrying a duffel bag.
Oh, fuck. And he just, like, steps back and lets the door swing open.
They close the door behind them. And one of them peeks in, nods, walks to the bathroom, closes the door, and you hear the sound of the duffel bag opening. The other one stands there and says, Jack Dorner? Dr. Jack Dorner?
That's me.
He extends a hand. He says, I'm Mr. Green. Welcome. And that is where we're going to end this episode.
Claps, golf, nice. Claps, golf, claps.
Golf, claps. Really, Jean? That's the best you could give me right at the end?
I can't control this. Nice.
Jack seals his entry to Delta Green with a bloody handshake. Still blood on his hand.
Yeah, like close up on the bloody handshake.
That's very cool. That was
yeah, all right.
Did y'all orchestrate that?
Cool.
Nope.
No. You telling me this is improv?
It is.
I don't believe you.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Welcome, everyone. Everyone, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for joining this facade.
Thank you for putting on the facade.
That was great.
Yeah,
that was like,
excellent.
When is Willica gonna die or leave us? I didn't know which was gonna happen.
He's gonna fucking die. Listen, everyone listening or watching, thank you for joining us for this little startup to Puppet Shows and Shadow Plays. Those of you who know how Puppet Shows and Shadow Plays goes, you'll notice that some things are different. That Ooh. This maybe isn't the exact way that Puppet Shows and Shadow Plays typically goes. And that's okay. Because we've changed up a little bit of stuff. But I hope you guys are liking it. And I can't wait to see how we're going to get the other two integrated into Delta Green and ruin their lives too. It's going to be fucking rad.
I can't wait.
Oh yeah,
looking forward to it.
I think Thorne's gonna run this one clean.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that Jack has to roll for Sandy for seeing a dead body.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, for this man dying. Yes, as well. Again, I want to thank Dorchester Resident and AD West for joining us over on the Patreon for supporting us.
Thank you.
You want to get these a week early? You want to get the session zero we did? Come hit us up. Come over there and join us on Patreon. It's $3. It really helps us. But guys,
it's such a pleasure.
Nice job, Joe.
Yeah.
Don't you start. None of that from you. I'm making a hard rule right now. Okay. Bert stays within Delta Green sessions, never outside.
I love him because I hate him. He's the worst person.
Because I hate him so much.
So fucking fantastic to play with you guys, and I'm so stoked. And my face is so emotional.
All right. Everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you so much. We're gonna figure out what we're gonna do about our remaining shirts. I have a big bunch of them. I will say that I'm unfortunately not everyone's gonna be able to get the Dace special. That's mine. That's my shirt.
It's the yellow.
I wanted now even more.
I only put the handprint on Joe's shirt because he earned it.
That's fair.
Maybe I earned a handprint at least.
True.
Can I get a thumbprint?
Everyone should be by the time
run a 2-year campaign. You can get a handprint.
You can get one. So by the time this episode goes out, everyone should have gotten their shirts. And like I said, stand by. We might have opportunity to buy some of the other ones we have. So yeah.
Nice.
But thank you so much. Thank you guys for playing ball.
Thank you, Joe.
I got you, man. Great time.
Oh, Thomas Scissors. They got theirs. Awesome.
Hey,
somebody got one.
A few people have gotten there so far. The international ones will probably take a minute, but you will be getting yours as well. But guys, thank you so much. Everyone listening, thank you so much. We will catch you next time. And remember, as always, stay safe and stay sane. Bye.